Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome. This is our first Pesach class we're doing on Monday nights. We don't have that many Monday nights till Pesach, frankly, but we'll hopefully hit up a few interesting topics. Now, usually during this Monday night slot, we are accustomed to addressing, hot topic issues, social issues, the things that are really at the forefront of our minds in the United States. Remember we talked about abortion, we talked about women rabbis, we talked about like all those fun topics. But every now and then, part of being relevant is not always picking a controversial topic, but part of being relevant is really just looking at what's on the calendar and figuring out what we can learn to prepare ourselves for what's coming up on the calendar. And hopefully by now, for those who haven't started cleaning yet, you know that Pesach is around the corner. Honestly, I haven't started cleaning yet either. So, I guess maybe because I'm not as conscientious about these things. We also happen to have a small apartment, so there's not a lot to clean over here. But anyway, so the material is in the chat. Again, I welcome you to follow along in if you can access the Hebrew, follow along in the Hebrew. If you don't want to follow along, you just listen in, just like we do in most of our classes. And the topic I want to talk about tonight, Sam Soroka reached out to me a while back. And he's just like, every now and then he asks me random questions. I mean, like many people in the community do. And he asked me as follows. And let me put the question to you. Maybe you could figure this out. We know that there is a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. And because we're in a diaspora, it's the second night also. But I have a question. Is there also a mitzvah to eat matzah throughout all the days of Pesach? Is there an obligation to eat matzah? Am I a good Jew if I eat matzah? Do I not need to eat matzah? So the source that we're looking at, just to answer, welcome Randy, to answer the question in the chat from Randy. So this isn't the Shulchan Aruch. This is a new sefer I bought actually called Yireach LeMo'adim, and it's a new Sefer. It came out, I think, only in the past few years, and it's an essay on this topic about what is the nature of eating matzah throughout the course of Pesach, right? So if I want to prove to my neighbor that I'm extra frum and I'm very religious, oh, is that, it looks like a Shulchan Aruch. Well, he'll quote the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch will be quoted in this source, but this is an achron. So this is much later than the Shulchan Aruch. This is a contemporary. The author is alive. It's based on, why am I forgetting his name right now? Rav Yerucham Olshin, who is one of the great Rabbanim in Lakewood. So for all of us who have sons and daughters who flipped out and put on black hats and moved to Lakewood, so here's their shout out right here. All right. So let me ask, what do we think? Is there a mitzvah to eat matzah throughout the course of Pesach? Am I a better person for doing that?
Well, it
No.
No, you're not, Arthur.
Don't believe you are either.
Very good.
How do you make a mochi if you don't eat matzah?
No mitzvah to make a mochi.
Oh,
Well,
interesting. Well, Phyllis is suggesting on the last days of Pesach, there is a need to have a seudah, to have a meal. And this is actually a great debate that came out on Purim. So you remember how we had to have a Purim seudah? We had to have our Purim meal earlier in the day. That way we could have our Shabbos meal later in the day. So the question was, many of the poskim today were dealing with is, what constitutes a meal? What constitutes a seudah? Do I have to have meat? Do I have to have bread? Do I not eat either of them?
How about Shabbos? Erev Shabbos.
Yeah. So you need, it would seem that you need to have bread, but here's the difference, Phyllis. The difference when you have matzah, perhaps, let's say I argue there's no mitzvah to have matzah the rest of Pesach. When I eat matzah on the second days for my meal, it's not a fulfillment of a mitzvah of eating matzah per se. It's
No.
that I have a mitzvah to have a meal, to have a festive seudah, a festive meal. And it happens to be I'm supposed to have a bread. What's the only bread I'm allowed to have? Happens to be it's called a matzah,
That's
but
what I
not an
mean.
inherent mitzvah to eat
Right.
matzah per se.
No. Okay, fine.
Maybe, I'm suggesting.
Okay.
Okay, so Arthur thinks that there's no mitzvah to eat matzah throughout Pesach. What do we think? Anyone else? Anyone want to argue with Arthur? Anyone want to disagree? I know he
I
respects our
agree.
good friend
I
Arthur. We don't want to
agree.
disagree with him.
No, there's no. But then, how do you get away with the
yes
with the suda with the Shabbos meal?
Like, is that the point you were going to make also?
No. No, we are not obligated to eat matzah during the rest of Pesach after the first night, but we need to remove all chametz. So it's kind of different. Yeah, but I think that it is no obligation.
So Marina, what Marina's pointing to is that there's a few mitzvahs when it comes to the holiday of Pesach, and this is good. This gives a general overview. On the one hand, there's a positive mitzvah of eating matzah. But on the other hand, there's a negative prohibition of bal yera o bal yimatzeh, that chametz should not be found in your midst. Yes, Toby.
Okay, Parshas Bo, chapter 12, verse 15.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's
great. Well, I'll start with 14. This day shall become a remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival for Hashem, for your generations, as an eternal decree shall you celebrate it. For a seven-day period shall you eat matzahs.
Mm-hmm. Ah, very good. So Toby points to the Psukim. Absolutely. And if you look at the Psukim, there's an mm-hmm. implication over there of eating matzahs throughout. So now here's the thing, though. Again,
it's,
Toby,
it's more than an implication. It's a statement. Yeah. You shall eat matzahs.
Yeah. Let me throw it back at you, though. On the one hand, Toby's saying, let me look at the verse. It sounds clear as day. There's a mitzvah. Thou shalt eat matzahs for 7 days, right? But maybe the Pasuk isn't commanding, but it's describing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can understand the verse that because you will not be able to eat bread, you are expected. This is what you will be eating throughout the course of Pesach. It might be more descriptive rather than prescriptive. Though I agree, that's a good reading of the Pasuk, Toby, and I appreciate
it. Is it in Sefer HaChinuch?
The Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Yud. You look at the 10th Mitzvah at Sefer HaChinuch. I don't have the Chinuch in front of me, but that's where it's found.
So he counts it as a mitzvah.
But the question is what the nature of the mitzvah is. Everyone agrees. So, okay, good. And those who are following inside, let me just re-upload it to the chat because I think if...
Can I ask a question?
By all means, Randy.
When you say, is that a mitzvah? There are 613 mitzvot. Mm-hmm. Is this one of them?
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Right. So if you'll look with me at the sheet, for those who want to follow along inside, we quote the Gemara from Sukkim. We're looking at the first paragraph over here. The Gemara tells me, this is the important line. So, Sheshes Yavim Tocha Matzos, Obiyom HaShvi Atzeres LaHashem Elokecha, right? So you didn't quote this Pasuk per se. This is from Dvarim, but same idea. For these 6 days, you will be eating matzos. And on the seventh day will be an atzeres. That's the 2 days of Yom Tov. That bookends Yom Tov. We're talking about that in our Rabbi Lam series. So Thursday morning, we'll be coming back.
But that's different than what Bo says. In Bo, it says 7 days. It's just...
There is what to discuss there. But the Gemara then derives from this verse, Mashvi Rishus, Av Sheshes Yamim Rishus. Just as the seventh day of Yom Tov, it is a reshus. Does anyone know what the word reshus means? Reshus is permission.
You have the right.
It's like if I wanted to go, when I was in elementary school, and if I got up from my desk to go to the bathroom without asking the rabbi, he said, I didn't give you reshus to get out of your seat. So that's the habit, the sprach that they used. So just as the Talmud tells us, just as on the seventh day, there's no obligation, it's permissible to eat matzah, so too the other 6 days as well. And Yachal Af Laila HaRishon Rishus, I would have thought even, you know what, maybe even the first night of Pesach also is not obligatory. Tamid Lomar, Amatzos Umorim Yochluhu, but it says in Bamidbar, it says in the book of Numbers, that I have to eat matzah with maror. Eli el bezmatche beis hamikdash kaim bezmatche beis hamikdash kaim minay. Tamalomar be'erv tochlu matzos. Now I think that's quoting from the verse over there in Exodus and Shmos that you're quoting from, Toby. But the point being is that if you go through the Gemara, the Braisa derives for us that in general the entire mitzvah of matzah is to eat on the first night. And every time I say first night, by the way, insert second night also, because that's what we do in diaspora. But that was instituted later. But the rest of Yom Tov, there is a reshus. Now, this is the key term that we are delving into tonight. You know, by the way, you ever hear, just one moment. So you ever hear how people will say, you know, like your kid or your, I guess your grandkid comes home and they bring a mitzvah note with them from preschool. You know, they're like, I did a mitzvah today. You know, we use the term mitzvah in a very flexible and not in a not saying it's negative, but like almost like in a frivolous manner, very flippantly. We very flippantly throw around the term mitzvah. Oh, Johnny boy, you did a nice mitzvah today. Or, you know, but like we say, this, oh, it's a mitzvah to do this. It's a mitzvah to do that. But what does it mean for something to be a mitzvah? And what I want to talk about tonight is for us to walk out appreciating that there are different tiers of what is a mitzvah. Not all mitzvos are created equal. Some are more obligatory than others, and they carry different consequences and ramifications along with them. And I know this sounds all abstract right now. What do you mean by different kinds of mitzvos? That's precisely what we will be outlining. So the first thing I want to ask is, this term reshus, does the term reshus sound like, you know, literally like you translated? It means permission. I have permission to eat matzah. Well, that's a funny term, you know, because technically most of the year, I always have permission to eat matzah. So what is the point of the Talmud telling me that I have reshus? I have permission to eat matzah the rest of the days of Pesach. Mm-hmm. Now, what was that, Phyllis?
I said, I don't know, because I don't get
that. I don't know yet either.
I don't know where it gets reshus from when it says not only the quote that Toby gave us, but it says specifically several other times after that, it says, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. In another time it says, "Lo tochlu b'chol moshotechem, kol machmetzed lo tochlu b'chol moshotochlu matzah." So it keeps on saying it repeatedly that you have to eat matzah. So where does the Talmud get the word reshut? Like you can and you can't. You have permission. To me, well, permission means you can do it or you don't have to do it.
Right. So we're not going to get, you know, we can look more. You can look in the Gemara Pesachim, Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. It goes through all the ways it derives from Sukkim, the parameters, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. But the point being is, unequivocally, this is what is accepted from the Talmud, is that the rest of the days are categorized as a reshus. Now, here's the thing. You take a look at Rashi in Sukkah. By the way, there's a gezera shava. There's a hermeneutical connection between Pesach and Sukkot. So there's a lot of halachos that they share. Similar, so right on Pesach, the first night, there is a chiyuv. There's an obligation to eat matzah. And Sukkot also. When are you obligated to eat and sleep in a sukkah? What was that?
Isn't it the first night of Sukkot?
All the nights you have to eat in a sukkah. That's when you're supposed to have a meal. So there's a lot of parallels between those laws. And we'll get there in a moment. So if you look in the Rashi, this is the second column on the first page. Rashi says, what does it mean that eating matzah is reshus? L'lamei cha'achilas matzah sa'amar bo eino chova, elein basalach lotei achilas matzah l'chameis. Rather, there's no obligation to eat matzah. If you happen to have a meal, and when you realize that you can't have a lot of food, you know, you can only eat from a small section of the Stop and Shop, and then you realize, you know what, I'm going to have a lot of meals as matzah. So if you want to eat something, but you can't eat chametz, you eat matzah. But there's no intrinsic value in the eating of the matzah itself. You know, it's like there's no intrinsic value to eating bread that is braided and made in a certain way. Like, you're supposed to have bread, you know, like on Shabbos. You can make it look like what we call a challah, but there's no obligation to eat, you know, the bread has to be. You can go to Baldadi's. You can get their rosemary olive bread thing that I always like getting. As long as it's not cut up beforehand, they don't pre-slice it. It's a complete piece of bread. You can use that the same way you could use what we call challah bread as well.
But so, Rabbi, it doesn't say in the Torah that you have to eat challah on Shabbat, but it does say you have to eat matzah.
Right, I'm drawing a parallel. Yeah, that is correct. It doesn't say thou shalt eat. Well, I wouldn't use the term challah either, because challah refers to something else in the Torah, as you and I know. We just call it challah bread. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, if you look in Tosas, next paragraph, Tosas in Menachos. So Tosas comments something. Let's just get through the next section, and I'll take more questions. Tosvos points out that there are a number of days during the year that we are not obligated to wear tefillin. And those days have a mentioning of an os, a sign. Tefillin is known as an os. It is a sign given to us by God. So Shabbos is a sign. And Yom Tovin, the holidays, are signs. And when Tosus describes what are the unique osios, what are the unique signature signs that categorize and make each holiday unique, listen to this. Hareisha kasu legabi sukkis, de'ika mitzvas sukkah kol shiva. What makes sukkis unique? You guessed it. You got to sleep and eat in a sukkah. What makes Pesach unique? What would you said?
Matzah.
Oh, but look what he writes. Avlegabe Pesach kasu rak de'ika iser lechol chametz. What makes Pesach unique? Not eating matzahs, but rather refraining from eating chametz.
But that's the sign.
Oh, just one moment. That's what makes it unique. And so the implication here is that maybe, you know, for our sukkah, there might be some idea. We'll talk about this in a moment. A mitzvah sukkah all Yom Tov long. But Pesach, its signature quality actually is not the eating matzahs, but rather the doing away with the chametz, the balyera balyimatzeh. So it sounds like Tosas, otherwise, if eating matzah was a mitzvah the entire Yom Tov, I should always be eating matzah, then why didn't Tosas just say the reason we don't wear tefillin, even on Chol Moed, throughout the course of Pesach, is because the sign of matzah. Apparently, Tosas thinks there's no imperative to be eating matzah except for the first night of Pesach. That's the implication here. Now I'll pause. What do we got?
Not eating chametz is that's a negative commandment.
That's what's so odd about it, right?
But eating matzah is a positive commandment.
Exactly, and that's why, exactly, because if Tosos really believed that eating matzah was a mitzvah the entire length of Pesach, all the days of Pesach, then you're right. They should have said what signifies Pesach? Eating matzah. The fact they did not say that the mitzvah is to eat matzah, it shows us that since they had to default back to the negative commandment of don't eat chametz, it shows that they don't actually think that eating matzah is obligatory, that's imperative, beyond the first night of Pesach. If you happen to want to eat a meal and then you realize, oh, I can't eat any challah and I just really need to have carbs in my diet, right? And Marissa always tells me not to have so much carbs in my diet. So if I need to have carbs in my diet, then you have to eat matzah, not intrinsically, it's not an imperative, but that's what you have available. That's the idea.
I just don't agree with him.
Okay, well, that's good, because you're going to probably agree with the next shot that we bring up.
So can I
let me just take Randy's question and then we'll move on.
I'm still go back to my original. Is this not eating chametz or the other eating matzah on the first night? Is that one of the 613 mitzvot?
Yes. So I have to go through the
chinuch. Oh, the question is, are they both mitzvot?
Yes. Okay, so eating matzah.
Well, either or.
No. It's both, because have both the negative and the positive mitzvah.
They're both separate mitzvahs. There's a separate mitzvah of eating matzah, and there's a separate mitzvah called bal yero bal yimatzeh, that there shall not be any chametz found in your residence under your ownership. And then there's actually an additional one no one's talking about called the mitzvah of tashbisu, that we have an obligation to get rid of any chametz that's in our household. It's a whole separate class, by the way, if it's a separate mitzvah, or if tashbisu, the mitzvah of destroying chametz, is just a means to an end of making sure that you don't have any chametz left in your house. That's like a whole separate shiur, though. But those are the mitzvahs when it comes to Pesach. So it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and it's a mitzvah not to have chametz under one's ownership and one's residence. Now, Phyllis, I know that you're saying, what do you mean? There's got to be more to this yontif than just not eating bread. Meaning, why am I saving all this matzah throughout all the days? You know, we have all these sudas getting together. There's got to be more to it than just the first night. You're saying I'd just be one and done. I have all my kazesim on the first night, and now I can just, send the rest of my matzahs over to JFS for the food drive, and then I'm done. So according to the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, we're now in Os Beis. If you're following, we're on the bottom of the first page. There is a well-known, I'm being told it's well-known, a well-known position of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon came along many years later. I think the Vilna Gaon was in the 1700s, if I'm not mistaken. So I always remember looking at his dates. I'm like, oh, he was alive during the Revolutionary War. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. So the Gra says, the Ika Kia Mitzvah Bechias Matzah Kol Shiva. There's actually a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. It's recorded in a book. There's a book called Maisa Rav, which really means the stories of this rabbi. So there's a whole book called Maisa Rav, which records the minhagim and the positions of the Gra. This is an important book. Keep this in mind, file away, because when we get to Rosh Hashanah, I'll probably talk about Tashlich this coming year.
And he doesn't Tashlich, do
Tashlich. What was that?
He doesn't do Tashlich.
You guessed right, or you knew right. So the Gra does not do Tashlich. And so I always like pointing to the Gra, because every time people are like, you come to Tashlich. Wait, where do we even do Tashlich here in Stanford? Where do people go?
In Ravona Woods, there's a stream.
Ah, that stream. So you know what the funny thing about Tashlich, digression. The funny thing about Tashlich is that when I grew up in a more yeshivish community, so the rabbi would always go up there and say, okay, you go to Tashlich, you say what you got to say, you throw your bread, and you leave. It shouldn't become a socializing fest. Then I went to a smaller out-of-town shul when I was on Torah tours in YU in Binghamton, and the rabbi said, no, Tashlich's the best. We try to get everyone to socialize. This is like the one time we could bring people out and people actually come. It's a nice event. This is how we boost membership in the shul. So it was just like completely different philosophies of Tashlich. But I'll make my arguments for why I don't do it later on. Anyway, so that's file away. Yeah. That's important. The book Maisa Rav.
I'm on with Kurtz right now.
Oh, let me
Maybe
just
you
should eat once
all 7 days.
Here we go. Okay, so good. I'm glad we're advertising this year. So Kol Shiva Mitzvah the Eino Korei La Rishus. When we use the term reshus, we mean in contrast to the word mitzvah as a chob. So remember we're talking about your little grandkid who comes back from the Gan or from bicultural and they have a little mitzvah note attached to them. So there's two kinds of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah where God commanded me to do X, God commanded me to eat matzah, God commanded me to destroy chametz, and I fulfill that mitzvah. And if I don't do it, if I do it, God rewards me. If I don't do it, there's divine punishment for that. But then there's another kind of mitzvah, which is, there's no particular commandment in the Torah to tell me to do this, but it's a nice thing to do. You know, we commend it. In yeshivish lingo, again, sometimes I would ask people, like, you know, why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do that? I asked a lot of questions when I was a kid. And I guess this is my payback now, because I get lots of questions now, which are also good. So Amida Kenegamida. So I would ask, I just lost my train of thought on that one. I'll come back to that in a moment. But what was the source? What's the source for something being a mitzvah? That's always the source. So they would say, if they didn't have a source for something being a mitzvah, they would say there's an inyan to do it. Anyone ever hear that formulation? You know, like, yeah. Is an inyan. It's an inyan. It's like, it means, what's it mean when someone
it's
says
an idea.
An inyan to
it's
do
an
something?
Idea.
It means they couldn't figure out a makor for it. They don't actually know the source, but like they intuitively think it's a nice thing to do. So what standing does that have in halacha? I'm not really sure. You know what? It's like sometimes you look in certain svarim, whenever someone says, by the way, in the svarim hakadoshim, it says such and such. In the holy books, it says this. But they don't give you a citation. And then, like, they proceed to give a very radical statement about Jewish theology. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that if you do X, then you'll burn in hell for all eternity. And I'm like, citation needed. We're going to say I'm going to burn in hell for this. So that's, I'm just sharing with you my frustration. So citations are always important. So kol shiva mitzvah. So when we say that there's a mitzvah, Tobias, to your point right now, in the Torah, when it says in Exodus 13:6, was that what you were quoting, Toby?
No, I was quoting 12:15.
Okay, but this one's just as good. It says, Shivas Yamin Tochel Matzos. 7 days you shall eat matzos. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Kol Shiva Mitzvah. Actually, the Gra says, you know what? You're right, Toby. Each and every single day you read the Psukim right is actually a mitzvah. The Eino Kori La Rishus. So then why did the rabbis call it Rishus? If it says in the Torah, it's a mitzvah. Elagabe La Rishus Yichava. Rather, it's on a lower tier than what we are doing on the first night. And so when you have a higher level mitzvah and this lower level one, which we'll describe more soon, it calls it a reshus. Nonetheless, the Gra says there is a biblical level obligation to be eating matzah throughout the course of Pesach. So according to the Gra, yeah, there you go. So Toby and the Gra versus Arthur and the rest and all the Rishonim.
And so Phyllis, I think Phyllis was on this too, right?
Oh, Phyllis, what was your position? Oh, you're on Toby's side also, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, even more so. I was going to ask you another question. I'm sorry, but
I was just messing before. No, it's okay. Questions are good.
You know, if you mentioned something like it, but you know, if you were to put all the holidays together, you take Pesach, take Shavuot, take Sukkot, take Rosh Hashanah, take Yom Kippur. There is a specific thing for each one of those holidays that reminds you that it's the holiday, so that it's a yontif, that it's special. So what would you pick? You know, you have a sukkah for, and you have the Arba Minim for sukkahs. You have Rosh Hashanah, you have the shofar, you have your fasting on Yom Kippur, you have the Torah on Shavuos. The one thing that you have during the day for Pesach is eating matzah. That's really the only thing that you have that reminds you constantly that you're in Pesach and that you can't eat chametz. I mean, you could say the counting the Omer, but that's at night and it takes 2 seconds.
But wait a minute. What reminds you of Pesach? You're not eating chametz. You don't need
to. Not eating chametz or but. But specifically, but, what reminds you is matzah.
But I think the not eating chametz reminds you, because chametz isn't just bread. It's a lot of other foods. That's a big, wide area. I don't need to eat matzah for 7 days to know it's Pesach.
I think both Phyllis and Randy are making compelling points. Phyllis, on the one hand, is saying that, I mean, the absence of something is not a reminder. The absence of chametz is not signifying the mitzvah. But Randy says, what do you mean? It's constantly on my mind all day. I'm always thinking about how I have to adjust my meals. And I, you know, like Marissa and I.
But then it's 7 days of Yom Kippur. It's not joyous in that way. By eating matzah and things that we can make with matzah that are enjoyable, it becomes a joyous festival.
Wait a minute. Who says matzah is joyous? It's not.
I love it. It's better than starving. I mean,
matzah in and of itself, if you love it, do you eat it 12 months out of the year?
I eat it 11 months of the year.
Okay.
I eat it 11 months of the year. And it's only because Pesach is coming that I stop.
Yes, right. I know. You don't eat it in the month of Nisan.
There's always matzah braai.
I just want to say, after COVID started, I was eating matzah like 5 months into COVID, making matzah pizza still. You know, that stuff doesn't get old.
Right. That's right.
Ran out. Okay. All great suggestions. I wanted to reel us back in over here. So I'm glad we all have there's a lot of opinions over here on how much of a mitzvah matzah is. And this is great because this is exactly what is disputed. So let's add a little color here. Again, still, it's a little unclear to me. What's it mean when we say something's more of a mitzvah and something's less than a mitzvah? I'm not really accustomed to hearing that. You know, usually, if I get up there for the sermon, I tell everyone, all mitzvahs are important. You don't hear, you know, like the Mishnah Avos says, they should treat lighter mitzvahs like the heavier mitzvahs. In other words, some Rishonim say, there's no such thing as a lighter and heavier mitzvah. All mitzvahs are created equal. But for some reason, like we're
true, because
here,
the punishments aren't the same.
It is true. God, we don't know how God evaluates each.
Now, but Toby, what you are pointing out is when it comes to a negative commandment, the Rambam on the Mishnah there points out we do see differences. For instance, like we're learning in our Gemara class, Thursday and Makos, so some things incur capital punishment, some things they only incur lashes, some things don't incur any of those, any corporal punishment. So definitely you see more of an evident and obvious hierarchy when it comes to negative commandments, depending on what kind of punishment someone receives. But positive ones are a little bit less obvious because we don't have an entire system telling me what the rewards are for most mitzvahs. Okay.
Olam haba.
What?
Olam haba.
Olam haba, good. So Toby, you listen to the Sharag Mul class. You're with us for that. So you can tell everyone all the different levels of heaven and hell that we talked about. So that is true. That is true. Okay, so the Mishnah Brura points out as follows. Now let's remember what we talked about, Sukkos. The Mishnah Brura writes, we are on the second page right now, Shin Tes Vav. We are in the second column in the second paragraph. So the Mishnah Brura points out, based on the Gemara, that we have a Gezeira Shavah, the Gemara Tes Vav Mi Tes Vav, that the 15th of Nisan, and also the 15th is when Sukkot starts as well. So for both of those holidays, they share similar laws. So the Mishnah Brura says, perhaps the same way. So he asks the question as follows. The same Gra who holds that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, what happens when we come to Sukkot? So, you know, there's a mitzvah, the Gemara tells me, to sit in the sukkah for the first night. That's why, by the way, the rest of Sukkot, if it's raining outside, you don't have to go into the sukkah. But on the first night, if it's raining and you stayed up a few hours already and it's not relenting, you run into the sukkah, you quickly say kish, you have a little bit of bread, and quickly bench and get out of there. So that's done on the first night. But the same question comes up in Sukkot. Well, is eating in a sukkah only a mitzvah on the first night? Or maybe it's a mitzvah all of Sukkot. So the Mishnah Brura says, oh, you know what? Maybe the same way the Gra said that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah the entire Pesach, there's a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah the entire all days of Sukkot. Now that sounds like a great analogy, right? Makes a lot of sense. The thing is, the question on this Mishnah Brura is that I have a more obvious reason to say that I would think that actually Sukkot, there is a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah all the days of Sukkot, but I have a reason to think that there might not be a mitzvah to eat matzah all the days of Pesach. And why is that? Because what do we have to do before we eat in the sukkah? Before I eat the food.
Make a bracha.
Right, what's that bracha? It's a
Lashev basuka.
Lashev basuka. Very good, Marina. We make literally a blessing saying that that God commanded us. Asher kisham et sozin tzivanu, that God commanded us. Lashev basuka. Dwell in a sukkah. So if the rabbis did not think that God commanded us to sit in the sukkah all the days of sukkah, it's not just the first night, they wouldn't have instituted such a bracha. But Pesach, you only make an achilas matzah at the Seder during the night. There's no mitzvah of achilas matzah the rest of Pesach. So what are we trying to do saying, you know what, maybe the Gra, that we can learn from the Gra that there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah all the days of Sukkot. I could have figured that more easily. I don't need to derive that from Pesach. It's very evident. It's obvious. It's self-evident to me by the fact we make a blessing on that all the time. And so, by the way, the Baal Meor tries to resolve this. It's a good question, right? Well, if both are mitzvah, why do we only make a bracha on Leishei Basukah? But we don't make a bracha on Al-Achilas Matzah, Ni'in Matzah. It's a good question, right? If that is true, if it's a mitzvah, then we should be making alakias matzah. Say we make a leishi basuka. So he answers. This is a
every night. Is that what you're saying?
What was that?
Yeah, every time you go into the sukkah.
Are you saying achilas matzah? We would say it every night or
every day, every time you eat matzah.
So we don't
night
we
day.
Don't. You're correct. We don't say it, and that's the question. The question is, why do I make a leishi basukkah every time I eat in a sukkah, but I don't make an achilas matzah at all the meals at both? You know, so there's a mitzvah. Okay, I have to have a night meal and a day meal each day, so I should make an achilas matzah at each one, not just a seder. So the reason he says is because because it's possible to eat, you know, I guess he mentions rice over here. I guess not according to us Ashkenazim, but it's possible for someone to actually get away the entire Yom Tov without having to eat matzah. Whereas when it comes to a sukkah, mashekim besukkah, shein yachol lama below sheinah gimel yamim. You can't last 3 days without sleeping. V'chayev lishein besukkah l'tayel ba. So he says that maybe for sukkah, you have to sleep at some point. So you're inevitably going to make that
profit. You can sleep in the sukkah.
What was that?
People sleep in the sukkah.
That's actually the mitzvah.
But the Lubavitchers don't sleep in the sukkah.
And the modern Orthodox don't either. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons why we don't, by the way. And that's a shear that I have to prepare for sukkahs. So I have a lot on the docket already. But one way, basically the way around it is especially, so first of all, only men are obligated to sleep and eat in the sukkah. And now how do men get out of it, do you ask? So if a man is married, then he gets out of it because if his wife doesn't want to sleep in the sukkah and he has to be with his wife, so then he doesn't have to sleep in the sukkah. So it's, I'll explain why when we give that shear down the line. You're wondering, why does one have to do with the other? You know, imagine I could get out all sorts of things. Some people are, I think I saw there's like suggestions that, you know, if one spouse can't go to Minyan, the other spouse shouldn't, both spouses shouldn't go to Minyan, right? Someone mentioned to me recently that if her husband can't go to Minyan, then she doesn't have to go, then, you know, if she can't go to Minyan, then her husband shouldn't have to go to Minyan. So, you know, usually we don't think that way. That's not true. You know, just because one person can't go doesn't mean the other person shouldn't go. So it's a very odd concept when it comes to sukkah. That so my wife doesn't want to be in the sukkah, what? So I shouldn't be in the sukkah also? Separate cheer when we get to sukkahs, God willing. So, but over here, this begs the question, which is back to our main question. You skip forward a bunch of pages. We are on Shin Chaf Beis. So let's get, now we're in the final stretch here. The final thing is as follows. Obviously, I do not need to derive a mitzvah from Pesach to Sukkot. Because if anything, it's more obvious to me that there's a mitzvah to eat and sleep in the sukkah all the days of Sukkot rather than Pesach. So what are we doing trying to infer from the Gra, the same way you eat matzah all the days of Pesach, you should also dwell in the sukkah all the days of Sukkot? There must be something unique that this Gra, that this Vilna Gaon is conveying to us, that we would not have understood in Sukkot otherwise had we not brought the Gra in. And now what he is going to say is as follows. There are actually three categories of mitzvos. So first, let me tell you two categories, and I'll explain to you what the third category is. The usual mitzvah we're accustomed to hearing about is a mitzvah, a commandment. God commands me to do something. If I don't do it, I get punished. If I do it, I get rewarded. Then there's something called a mitzvah kiyumis. A mitzvah kiyumis is something which God isn't going to hold me accountable if I don't do it, but if I volunteer to do it, God will reward me. You know what's a really great example of mitzvah kiyumis that Moshe Feinstein suggests that I'll get in a lot of trouble for sharing? Well, maybe not with this crowd. What was Tzedakah? That? Tzedakah?
Tzedakah.
Not that I'm thinking about, but there is something on Meiser Ksufim. Yeah. It's a minug. Aliyah, moving to Israel. You see many poskim and many, especially those of religious Zionist persuasion, like to say there is a mitzvah to make Aliyah, to move to Israel. Ramosha Feinstein agrees. There's a mitzvah. But what kind of mitzvah? Is it an obligatory mitzvah that if I'm not doing it, that God is holding me accountable and I'm sinning every day I'm living here in a diaspora, if I have the financial means to move. Or Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's a mitzvah kiyumis, which means there's an imperative. It's a positive thing. If you move to Eretz Israel, you move to the land of Israel, God will reward you for doing that. But you are not obligated. It's not compulsory. One is not obligated to move to the land of Israel, which is, if it's very well, I think, into our American Jewish philosophy, doesn't it? You know, we all like Israel. We like supporting Israel, but many of us don't want to necessarily move to Israel. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was speaking to the heart of American Jewry at that point, that there's a value in Israel. There's a value in moving to Israel, but if you don't do it, you don't have to feel bad about it. That's what a mitzvah kiyumis is. And we'll talk about that more probably as we get closer to Yom HaTzimut. That's another shiur on the docket. Is there a mitzvah to make aliyah? So you're getting a preview of everything that's lined up already.
Okay.
So those are the two usual categories. And now comes along the Gra. What we suggest is that the Gra is saying there's actually a category, talking about splitting hairs, right? There's a category in between a typical mitzvah and a mitzvah kiyumis, which is a mitzvah. We call it a mitzvah, but it's not completely obligatory. Let me read you the words and you tell me what you think. Ula yesh lechadesh. Haven a Mishnah Brura. What's the Mishnah Brura conveying to us? Sheish be mitzvah matzikol shiva yoster mi mitzvah kiyumis to alma. When the Gras says that you have to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, it's not just a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not like Rav Moshe Feinstein says, "Hey, you move to Israel, it's a nice thing. You get schar points for doing it." But actually, it's a level higher. It's a tier higher than that. The yesh mitzvah lichat chila lechol matzah kol shiva. Not just if you happen to eat matzah, you also get rewarded for it. But actually, you should set yourself up to be eating matzah. You know what? The Shemitzah Mutelasa of Lekaima, it's actually incumbent upon you to eat matzah all days of Pesach. Achlo begeter chova el begeter matzah. Mitzvah. That was a close one. So here's the thing. Let me try to clarify. On one extreme, there's something called a mitzvah, which is if I do it, I get rewarded. If I don't do it, I get punished, presumably. And then there is a mitzvah kumis, which is, you know, you get mitzvah points. You bring your mitzvah note home. I did something nice. Mora Plonus rewards me for doing that. And then there's a category in between that the Gra is telling me, that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. And what's the difference between this kind of mitzvah and the other mitzvah? I'm not punished if I don't do it. So what makes it different than that and a standard mitzvah kiyumis? Well, I'll tell you nafka mina. The question is, you know, when I get up there and I give my sermon on Pesach, and do I encourage everyone to try eating matzah all the days of Pesach? I'm giving my shiur right now. Do I encourage all of you to consider eating matzah every single day of Pesach? So it depends. If it's only a standard mitzvah kiyumis, it's just a bonus round to eat it, then, you know, I could say go ahead and eat it. If you do, great. If you don't, not a big deal. But if it's a mitzvah lechachila, I'm not going to be held accountable if I don't do it. But it's a mitzvah lechachila. It's something I ought to be setting up. Then actually, I, as a responsible practicing rabbi, I should be sitting here right now encouraging everyone on the Zoom session to make sure you have enough matzah that you're able to eat matzah once, at least once every single day of Pesach. That's the difference over here. It's a mitzvah lechachila to set up. And now we know why the Gra needed to teach us, why the Mishnah needs to derive from the Gra that there's a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah and eat in the sukkah all the days of sukkahs as well. I would have thought it's just a mitzvah kiyumis, a standard bonus points for eating in the sukkah all the days of Pesach. But maybe according to the Gra, it's more than that. I should really set up my schedule that I'm able to sin in the sukkah every single day of sukkahs as well. It's something I have to go out of my way and premeditate and intentionally do it. And you know what? You know where he derives this from? We're not going to have a lot of time to see inside, but you look on the second column on Shimon Chaf Beis, he says, you know what else is called the Rishus in Jewish law? Something people love pointing out who might not want to stay up late for Marv. I just gave it away. Arvis. The evening prayer, actually, is referred to, according to some opinions in the Gemara, as a rishus, the same word. So it sounds like, if I just read the Gemara, Shacharis, I got to wake up for Shacharis and daven Shacharis. Mincha, I got to daven Mincha. Ma'ariv, You know, it's like we actually have there. We have a lot of people. They come to shul, they come to minyan, and then right after we finish mincha, they walk out right before Maariv. Now it happens to be they live in like Brooklyn, Muncie, and they're just going to daven Maariv when they get back. But you know, it almost has to look like mincha is important enough for me. Maariv, I don't care about. Can't wait 10 more minutes. That's not actually what they're doing though, but it has that appearance. So Maariv is just a reshus, but it's the same thing there. The Gemara there, it makes it sound like even though it's reshus, we do try to impose on people to daven Maariv. We don't just say, if you come, you come. But actually, there, even according to opinions that Maariv is a reshus, it may not be fully obligatory in terms of, you know, you'll be damned if you don't do it. But there is certainly not only a reward, but an imperative to show up for Maariv. And there's an imperative to eat matzah all the days of Pesach. And there's an imperative to eat and stay in the sukkah throughout all the days of Sukkot. So if there's something we're walking away with, it's I want to understand the terminology of mitzvos. We throw around the term mitzvah a lot, but there's different definitions of mitzvos. There's mitzvos which are, you know, fully obligatory. You got to do it whether you like it or not. That's what a mitzvah is. It's a commandment. There's other kinds of mitzvos which God tells us we have to do them. We should try to set up to do them. But there's a small category of mitzvahs that if I don't do it, I'm not going to be held accountable, but I should really be setting up my life to do it. And then there's the bonus round mitzvahs as well. And then there's things which people just make up and aren't mitzvahs at all, but people call them mitzvahs. And that's why it's always important to ask people. If someone tells you you're obligated to do something, you know, ask for a citation. Ask for a source. Because there are things that are mitzvahs that people don't treat like mitzvahs, but they're in the Torah, they're in rabbinic literature, they're in the Shulchan Aruch, and we got to do them whether we like it or not because that's the will of God. And there's a lot of things that people make up that's not the will of God, and they just make up things on their own and they call it a mitzvah to do. So what's important in life is to get to the bottom of things. Like many people in our class, I like the fact that we do. We ask questions. We ask, what's the source for that? And it's, I know it's not just to pepper me with questions, but it's because we generally want to get to the bottom of things. We want to know what the truth is. And that's a very important philosophy for life. It's an important philosophy for the sugya. And hopefully we'll take it with us as we go into the holiday of Pesach. I'll conclude here, but I'll stay on a few minutes for questions. Toby.
So are mitzvot lechatchila amongst the 613?
All 613 are absolutely obligatory. You must do them. They're not just nice things.
So a mitzvah lechatchila is not part of the 613.
Exactly. Precisely. I want to clarify. 99.999% of mitzvahs we talk about are obligatory. You must do them. And we believe there are divine reward and consequences for doing them and not doing them. This is a very...
So we can't do most of them.
What?
But we can't do most of them.
Well, yeah, those that we can't do. Like, we don't have a base on mikdash today. We don't have a temple. So there's a lot of things we can't do. But what I mean, and you know, there's mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim, not for Yisraelim like me. So When I say we have to do all 613, you're correct. Not literally all 613, but all of them that we are obligated in doing, depending on our personal categories.
So in the different compilations, like Sefer HaChinuch or Sefer HaMitzvot or whatever, you would then find to not eat chametz, but you would not find to eat matzah?
You would find to eat matzah, but it would be the first night of Pesach.
Only on the first night. Got it.
I need to check up. I need to look in the Sefer Mitzvah. Okay, got it. Tell me if you see anything different there. It should be mitzvah number 10, mitzvah Yud and Sefer HaChinuch, and Rambam mitzvah say Kuf Nun Ches, 158 in Sefer HaMitzvahs. So let me know.
I think what bothers me about this is that you've got some psukim. You've got more than in one place. You've got psukim where the pshat seems more clear than you generally get. And yet the sages go out of their way to turn it and twist it so that no, it doesn't really mean what it so clearly seems to say. That drives me a little crazy.
Oh, but here, over here, that's the beauty of what we just did. Meaning it says in the Torah, it's a mitzvah to do something. But that's the whole point of what we're doing here is to understand that the term mitzvah has multiple implications.
Right.
So when you read mitzvah in the Torah, you're right. Most of the time it means literally a mitzvah. But that's the beauty over here, that now that we went through different definitions of what mitzvah means, maybe we could see the pasuk through a different lens. But I mean, look, you know, you want to take it very literally. We could gouge out people's eyes and do all that fun stuff.
So what's your conclusion?
What was that, Phyllis?
So what's your conclusion? You don't have to eat matzah only the first night?
So the first night, you must eat matzah. You must eat matzah the first night of Pesach.
That's unequivocally. Your conclusion?
That's the conclusion is you need to eat matzah on the first night according to everyone. The only debate is the remainder of Pesach, is there an imperative to be eating matzah?
Tonight.
Should you first go out tonight. Of your way correct. To having matzah on Chol HaMoed? Okay. That's the question. All right. I think it just
I don't like to frozen. Made up the reshut again. Who made up this reshut? Who made the reshut?
We have the reshut. It's in the Gemara.
Yeah, the fruit. You're not. We hear you, but we don't see you, Rabbi. Where does the eighth day of Pesach come in?
So we're talking about Shmini Atzeret.
We have 8 days of Pesach, not seven.
So the I think the pasuk.
No, I'm not talking about Shmini Atzeret. I'm talking about Pesach.
Right. No, it's called Atzeret in the Torah, though. It's the stopping of it. And then we added on an additional, yeah. Because we have a suffix, a sfeika
diyomer. No, Pesach. He's asking about Pesach.
I'm sorry, my computer's freezing a little bit on me over here. So there's a lot of delay. So I realize I might be speaking over.
Yeah, you're going in and out. Right.
Okay. You know, maybe here's a good
I was asking the whole hour, Rabbi, was 7 days of Pesach. We have 8 days of Pesach. Where does that come in?
So where it comes in, the way we get additional days is because we add on a second day for all holidays in the exile because there was doubt about the calendar. So that's how we wind up with an additional day.
So what we do on the seventh day has to be on the eighth day. It's like the first and the second and the seventh and the eighth.
Right. Exactly. Now, what is the purpose of these last days at the end? So that's the subject of our topic with Rabbi Lamb. So we're going to pick up the answer hopefully on Thursday morning.
Okay, Thursday.
I'll leave you on a cliffhanger for that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, Yasher Koch, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.